was reminded of what the other prayer request was. And so if we could just take a minute and pray. Oh, Amelia. What was her name? Casey. Okay. Yes. Emily. Okay. So we'll pray for Casey too. So Father, we thank you that you bring new life into the world, and we pray that you would be with Casey, a new mom, that you'd be with her and the baby, and that you would help them to, for the mother to heal up and be able to be there for her child. And we pray for this newborn that she'd be healthy and grow in strength and be set aside for your glory. Socially, in places like France and throughout the Middle East and Africa, here in the United States, a lot of social upheaval, a lot of social unrest, spiritual things taking place, a lot of political unrest along with the social things, and people wanting change, people wanting to see things get better. Call this little teaching here this morning, the world is filled with unrest. When differences divide, let's be united in our diversity. God has made each one of us to be unique, and we all have special gifts and special talents, and as we are different, sometimes those differences can divide us and separate us and that sort of thing, and that's not a good thing. God made us diverse. He wants us to be united even in the midst of our diversity, to appreciate our own gifts and talents and to appreciate the gifts and talents of someone else, whether that be culture or race, socioeconomic, political, whatever the difference is, to not be divided. I don't know if you know Emo Phillips, but I got this from Emo Phillips. He said, "Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, 'Don't do it.' He said, 'Nobody loves me.' I said, 'God loves you. Do you believe in God?' He said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Are you a Christian or a Jew?' He said, 'A Christian.' I said, 'Me too.' 'Protestant or Catholic?' He said, 'Protestant.' I said, 'Me too.' 'What franchise?' He said, 'Baptist.' I said, 'Me too.' 'Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?' He said, 'Northern Baptist.' I said, 'Me too.' 'Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?' He said, 'Northern Conservative Baptist.' I said, 'Me too.' 'Northern Conservative Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern Region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region of 1912. I said, die, heretic, and pushed him over. So, I love that joke. That joke was actually voted the greatest religious joke by this group in the United Kingdom, and it's really a good one. So many things that they would be united by, but this one little thing that would cause them to be divided, that would just make it, you know, I'm not going to associate with you because, you know, we don't believe in this stuff. And, you know, I've got friends in low places. I've got friends that I've, you know, had throughout my life, people that I've met in elementary school and people that I've met in neighborhoods, and now through this internet thing, having friends who I've never met face to face, but I've had interaction with them, people in Turkey, people in the United Kingdom, people in different parts of the world who speak a different language. And there have been some times where we've had discussions on religion with those that are Muslim, those who are atheists, those who are extremely liberal and agnostic. And sometimes, you know, they can be a little bit heated, the email discussions or the posts on one another's walls. And, you know, I said to many of them, we find common ground. I say, look, you know, we have this common ground in the area of music, film, books. You know, that there's certain things that we both enjoy. Let's continue to be friends and allow these things that we both enjoy to unite us. And these things that make us different, let's try to, we'll just understand one another and have this discussion and keep it open and try to keep it friendly, you know, and not put each other down. And I brought this up, unrest in the world. Politically, we see in Asia, specifically with North Korea, South Korea. You know, there's still a lot of trouble in China. There's trouble in China. Tibet, I don't know if you've seen in the news, there have been several self-immolations, people pouring gasoline, kerosene on themselves, setting themselves on fire, because they're looking to see Tibet have autonomy, to be free once again, to allow the Dalai Lama to come back and allow them to be their own country, their own state once again. And people are taking this, you know, very seriously. A lot of the monks and a lot of people who are from Tibet, you know, protesting the Chinese government. For someone to be that passionate about their beliefs, to actually take their own life in that way. And I'll tell you, it's very sad. It's not something that we're called to do as human beings. It's not something that we're supposed to do. But I have a lot more respect for them than I do for the Muslim, for those that follow Islam, who want to see change, who we know strap explosives onto themselves and walk into buildings. face or our eyes. It doesn't matter if we're male or female. It doesn't matter, honestly, it doesn't matter what our religious background is or our faith. It has no bearing on his love for us. He loves us no matter what. Socially, Black Panther Party calling out, putting a bounty on a man's this had to do with the religious part. This had to do with, for all intents and purposes, it had to do with the church. See, and I think the church in the United States, since that's where we live, has we've kind of dropped the ball, you know, over the past couple of hundred years in expecting the government to take care of us instead of the church taking care of one another. You know, there's this one verse in Deuteronomy 14. It says, "And do not neglect the Levites living in your towns." Those were the priests. Those were the ones that were responsible for the sacrifices and all of that, taking care of the temple, or the tent at first and then the temple later. "For they have no allotment or inheritance of their own. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." In Malachi later on, it talks about, you know, the storehouses and that God wants to provide abundantly. And there's a lot of people that are hurting, that are hungry. The aliens, the fatherless, the widows, those who need our help. And not that they need to go to a government program to get their welfare and all that kind of stuff. The church, we need to continue to rise up and to give to our food banks and to provide for those that may be hungry, you know, to buy diapers, buy formula, you know, even if it hurts, you know, to make that choice. You know what, we're not going to go see that movie. We're not going to go to that restaurant. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're not going to drive, you know, just for that pleasure of driving, which, you know, we used to love to do. It's like, come on, let's get in the car and let's go for a drive and go somewhere and find a new little place. You know what I mean? Find that trail. Find that place at a park or a Civil War trail, battlefield, and then just go for a walk. Well, it's really hard to do those kinds of things unless it's on the way to a place that's, you know, it's necessary to go to. So we really have to plan things out. There have been a lot of wars. You know, Jesus talked about when they asked him, "What's the sign of your coming?" And he said, "When I come, there's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famines. There's going to be, you know, all this stuff in the earth, the natural disasters taking place." And one of those things that he talked about too was wars and rumors of wars. And there have been a lot of wars and rumors of wars, you know, actual nation fighting nation. But some of the other wars that have taken place has been the war on drugs, the war on terror, and the newest one, the war on women. And that's nothing new. You know, the war on women actually began in the garden, right? I mean, it happened in the garden. And I'll tell you when the victory came. The victory actually came when Jesus sat down with the Samaritan woman at the well. And I've shared this story so many times because I think it is my favorite, aside from the, you know, the crucifixion and the resurrection and all that, the sacrifice that Jesus made. I believe that the story of Jesus meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well is one of the greatest things that happened. You know, he didn't tell any stories. There were no parables involved. He just, you know, it said that he had to go from one place to another, and it said he had to go through Samaria, which we know, you know, it's kind of old and cliche. The Jews didn't want to go through Samaria. Most of the time, the Jewish people would walk all the way around that place because they were half-breeds. They weren't pure in their genealogy. They weren't pure in their race. And so the Jews would distance themselves. Instead of loving the foreigner, instead of loving the alien, instead of taking care of those who were different than they were, they allowed their differences to divide them. And Jesus said no more. He said he's going through Samaria. And then when he did, he broke another cultural rule because there was a woman at the well, and it was not proper for a man, a Jewish man, to talk to a Samaritan woman. It wasn't proper for a man who was not in some way, shape, or form related to that woman. It wasn't proper for that man to talk to the woman. It just wasn't done. And we know the story. Jesus sat down and said, "Give me a drink of water." And we know the story. Nothing to draw with. The well is deep. religious barriers right there in that instance. And over the course of the history of the church, like this joke from Emo Phillips, we've allowed a lot of these barriers to be built up again. And then it extends out from the church. You know, it happens. And I believe it breaks the Father's heart, you know, because he wants us to come together. In Galatians chapter 3, this is one of those verses that we read a lot and we all know it. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither receive anyway. Why not allow it to be like Elijah, who said, all right, you prophets of Baal, I'll tell you what, we're going to build a couple of altars, we're going to put some sacrifices on there, and then we're going to pray and we're going to call out to the God. And the one God who answers by fire, he will be God. So let the people from Planned Parenthood pray. All right? Just let them pray. Let the weeds grow up with the wheat. We pray to the God of the universe. We pray through Yeshua to Yahweh, and we pray. And we say, Lord, allow there to be a provision for these young mothers, to these women who have no other way to go. Allow them to know that there is a better solution. You know, I've shared this before, and I've taken some heat for it, but Keith is pro-choice, and a choice is life. There is always an option. But yet I want to allow for that girl, for that woman who has, she's just lost her hope and she makes that mistake. God is still gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he will forgive. The doctor who performs that and the woman or the girl who goes through that, there is still room for forgiveness. But still, choose life. We know Mike and Rose, the Whalens, who adopted Patty. Charles and Heidi adopting Caleb. There are people out there who will take care. An expectant mother doesn't have to go through that decision. So we as believers, rather than say, you guys don't pray, let's be like Elijah and say, you pray to your God, who we know who it is, because your enemy, the devil, the roaring lion, goes about seeking who he may devour. He wants to destroy children and infants. That's his sole purpose. He is the destroyer. He is the one who has come to murder. He's the liar, you know? That's who Satan is. That's who the devil is. And so we pray to God, the God of the Bible, and we say, Lord, touch these women who are pregnant. Give them a strong will. Put somebody in their path. Allow them to know that there is an alternative, that they don't have to go through with an abortion, that there is someone who will be willing and ready to receive that child. There will be someone there to help you to take care of widows and orphans, because that's the church's job. And there's one more verse that I need to share, but I need to look it up in my electronic Bible. And let's see if that's going to let me do it. It's in the Old Testament somewhere. I was having this conversation with Tammy this week, and she went, oh, I just read a verse this morning in her daily reading. And it comes from Hosea. And it's Hosea chapter 5, start in verse 13. And was that it? Yeah. It helps if you go to the right chapter. Let me see. All right, here we go. Was that right, Tammy? What'd you say? Oh, Amos. I was Therefore, the prudent man keeps quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Again, had the Christian organizations, I know that, you know, they want to bring awareness, you know, and I kind of thought, well, should I bring this up or not? Because there may be some of you that didn't know that Planned Parenthood was doing that. But it's one of those things where, should we bring it up and make people aware of it and make more people angry? Or do we just pray when we see these evil times, when we see things taking place? And I think the answer is God would want us to pray. He would want us to be there and to offer hope for the hopeless, to help those who are in need. You know, Jesus said, on that day that many are going to come to him crying, Lord, Lord, he's going to say, away from me, I never knew you. And those he knows, when he says, when I was sick, you came. When I was in prison, you came. When I was hungry, you fed me. All those things. When I was naked, you clothed me. All that stuff that Jesus said, that's all he's called us to do. You know, not to go fight. We need to fight on our knees and then one-on-one to share the love of Jesus, regardless of the differences. You know, in this cute little joke by Emo Phillips, you know, I love the whole idea. He just accepts everything until the very end, and he calls him a heretic and pushes him over the bridge. A lot of times we're like that. Only today I don't think we push people over the bridge. We throw them under the bus, right? That's the new thing. Because there's a lot of buses. There's a lot of bridges too. So anyway. We need to live and let live, I believe, to some degree, a little bit more than we have. And let the wheat grow up with the tares, and the Lord will sort it out. Some of you may disagree, you know, and that's okay. I really think that's okay, that we can disagree on this idea. But the Bible does say, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You know, I'm going to give you one example before we close up shop here. And this was one I've shared with a few of you about the 21 years that I spent living in Las Vegas. And a lot of that time was with Tammy, obviously. But while we were at one church that we served in, there was a group that came in. And they wanted us to sign a petition. They asked if they could put the petition. We had a little, like a hospitality table with information and all kinds of stuff on the back. And they wanted to put this petition back there so that Christians would sign it. And what it was for is there was a group that was going to go to the city council in Las Vegas and Clark County and have these pornographic advertisements that would advertise for escorts, prostitutes to come to your hotel room or your home or whatever. And they had, you know, there was nudity, scantily clad women in provocative poses, and phone numbers. And there were magazines, looked like little newspapers, and there were business cards that would be handed out on street corners. People were paid to stand on the corners in Las Vegas or stand out in front of the casinos as people would walk up and down the strip, and they would just hand it to people. From downtown all the way to the other end of the strip on Las Vegas Boulevard, this was taking place. And this group came in, and I happened to be the one that, you know, I don't know if the pastor would have agreed. He did, you know, when I explained it to him. But they came in and asked me, and I said, no. You can't put that here. And they're like, why not? And I said, because it's going to turn around and bite us in the butt. why do you think that? You know, we need to stop this. This is pornography on the streets of Las Vegas. And I said, look, if we try to shut that down, they're going to tell us that we're not allowed to proselytize on the streets. We won't be able to hand out Bible tracts. We won't be able to hand out Bibles. And the whole thing was, they didn't want the pornography, but more important than that, they didn't want the litter on the streets. And I said, okay, why don't you walk up and down Las Vegas Boulevard and pick the crap up and throw it in the trash bag or collect it and go burn it? Why don't you do that? So here's what happened. They did get enough signatures. They took it before the city council. company made a law and said, no more of these magazines. But in that law, it said no literature could be handed out on Las Vegas Boulevard. So you know what that means? It means it turned around and bit him in the butt. And then that same group got all up in arms and said, no, we need our religious freedoms. We need